Storytell Lib by Annie Trumbull Slosson. Chapter 3, The Horse That Believed He'd Get There. Among those who sometimes came to listen to Little Lib's allegories was Mary Ann Sherman, a tall, dark, gloomy woman of whom I had heard much. She was the daughter of old Deacon Sherman, a native of the village who had, some years before I came to Green Hills, died by his own hand after suffering many years from a sort of religious melancholy. Whether the trouble was hereditary and his daughter was born with a tendency inherited from her father, or whether she was influenced by what she had heard of his life and death, I do not know. But she was a dreary creature with never a smile or a hopeful look upon her dark face. Nothing to her was right or good. This world was a desert. Her friends had all left her. Strangers looked coldly upon her. As for the future, there was nothing to look forward to in this world or the next. As Dave Mooney, the village cynic, said, Mary Ann weren't proud or set up about nothing but being the daughter of a man that committed the unpardonable sin. Poor woman, her eyes were blinded to all the beauty and brightness of this world, to the hope and love and joy of the next. What wonder that one day, as she paused in passing the little group gathered round Lib, and the child began the story I give below, I thought it well fitted to the gloomy woman's case. The horse that believed he'd get there. You all seen them thrashing machines they're using round here? The sort, you know, where the horses keep stepping up aboard things as if they was climbing a hill or going on a pair of stairs. Only they don't never get along a mite. They keep right in the same place all the time, stepping and stepping, but never getting on. Well, I knew a horse once that worked on one of them things. His name was Jack, and he was a nice horse. First time they put him on the thrash, he didn't know what the machine was, and he walked along and up the boards quick and lively, and he didn't see why he didn't get on faster. There was a horse side of him named Billy, a kind of a frettin' cross feller, and he see through it right off. "Don't you go along," he says to Jack. "'Tain't no use. You won't never get on. They're foolin' us, and I won't give in to 'em." So Billy, he hung back and shook his head and tried to get away and to kick, and the man whipped him and hollered at him. But Jack, he went on quiet and quick and pleasant, stepping away, and he says softly to Billy, "Come along," he says. "It's all right. We'll be there by and by. Don't you see how I'm getting on already?" And that was the way things went every day. Jack never gin up. He climbed and climbed and walked, just if he see the place he was going to, and if it's got nearer and nearer. And every night when they took him off, he was as pleased with his day's journey if he'd gone 20 mile. "I've done first rate today," he says to cross-kicking Billy. "The roads was good, and I never picked up a stone nor dropped a shoe, and I got a long piece. I'll be there pretty soon," says he. "Why," says Billy, "what a foolish fellow you be. You've been in the same place all day, and you ain't got on one mite. What do you mean by there? Where is it you think you're going, anyway?" "Well, I don't exactly know," says Jack. "But I'm getting there real spry. I most see it one time today." He didn't really mind Billy's laughing at him and trying to keep him from being satisfied. He just went on trying and trying to get there, and hoping and believing he would after a spell. He was always pert and comfortable, took his work real easy, relished his victuals and drink, and slept first-rate nights. But Billy, he fretted and scolded and kicked and bit, and that made him hot and tired and got him whipped and hollered at and pulled and yanked. You see, he hadn't got anything in his mind to chirk him up. for he didn't believe anything good was coming, as Jack did. He most knowed it wasn't, but Jack most knowed it was. And Jack took notice of things that Billy never see at all. He see the trees a-growin', and heard the birds a-singin', an Injun brook a-gugglin' along over the stones, and he watched the butterflies a-flyin', and sometimes a big yeller and black one would light right on his back. Jack took notice of 'em all, and he'd say, "I'm gettin' along now, certain sure, for there's birds and posies and flyin' things here I never seen back along. Guess I'm almost there." "There? There?" Billy say. "Where is it, anyway? I ain't never seen any of them posies and creatures you talk about, and I'm right side of you on these old boards the whole time." And all the children round there liked Jack. They'd watch the two horses working, and they see Billy all cross and skittish, holding back and shaking his head and trying to kick, never taking no notice of them nor anything. And again they see Jack stepping along pert and spry, pleasant and willing, turning his head when they come up to him, and looking friendly at him out of his kind brown eyes, and they'd say, the boys and girls would, "Good Jack, nice old Jack," and they'd pat him and give him an apple or a carrot or something good, but they didn't give Billy any. They didn't like his ways, and they was most afraid he'd bite their fingers. And Jack would say come evening, "It's getting nicer and nicer. We get further on the road, ain't it? Folks is pleasanter speaking, and the victuals 'pears better flavored, and things is comfortabler every way. Seems if, and I judge by, that we're most there." But Billy'd say, grumbling away, "It's worse and worse. Young ones a-botherin' my life out of me, and the birds a-jabberin', and the posies a-smellin' till my head aches. Oh, dreary me, I'm most dead." So it went on and kept on. Jack had every mite as hard work as Billy, but he didn't mind it. He was so full of what was comin' and how good it would be to get there. And 'cause he was pleasant and willin' and worked so good, and 'cause he took notice of all the nice things round him, and see new ones every day, he was treated real kind, and never got tired and used up and low in his mind like Billy. Even the flies didn't pester him as they'd done Billy, for he only said when he felt him biting and crawling, "Dog days is coming, sissy, for here's the flies worse and worse. So the summer's most over, and I'll get there in a jiffy now." "What am I stopping for, do you say, Mary?" "'Cause that's all. You needn't make such a fuss, children. It's done, the story is. I tell you, leastways, I don't know any more of it. I told you all about them two horses, and which had a good time and which didn't, and what 'twas the differences twixt 'em. But you want to know whether Jack got there. Well, I don't know no more than the horses did what there was, but in my own mind I believe he got it. Maybe 'twas just dying peaceful and quiet and resting after all that stepping and climbing. He liked that particular when he knowed the folks was sorry to have him go and would allus recollect him. Maybe 'twas just living on and on, interested and enjoying and liked by folks, and then being took away from the hard work and put out to pasture for the rest of his days. Maybe 'twas, I don't know, might have been a lot of things, but I feel pretty certain sure he got it, and he was glad he hadn't given up believing 'twould come. For you remember, all the time Billy most knowed it wasn't, Jack most knowed 'twas.